Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the magic hat.
It's the magic hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics.
Yeah.
And we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his magic hat.
Hocus pocus, where are you?
Something. Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague, your Portland sports leader in 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. We got a lot to get to here in the final hour of the radio program. We got a Australia game tonight on Netflix, Rams and 49ers. We have a few more thoughts on the Seahawks and Patriots game, which kicked everything off yesterday. So all that is still to come in the final hour of the radio show. But it is the final hour of the program, so we will start as we always do on a Thursday with the Magic Hat, Jason T. Swigard. What do we? Oh, we got a late edition here. Sprague's running a late edition over.
Oh, we got a hot route.
We got a hot route. He's running that one down. Make sure it gets in before the press. Before we go to press, you got to make sure you get all those in there. So we got our magic hat, and it's how we start every Thursday. The last edition. What will it be? We will find out. What is the first poll we have today?
The first poll from the magic hat. Expose it all.
This is mine. I sent you audio. Yeah, I sent you audio. I don't know if you got it in. It was a little bit late there in the last commercial break. If we don't have it in, we can hold it and get to the next. Oh, no. Okay, here we go. All right, we do have it. All right, this is great. I know most people are not a fan. She is very successful. She's most known probably for being railed on a videotape that then created her career by sleeping with Brandy's brother, Kim Kardashian. Always in the headlines. She has created another reality show. Would you like to listen to what the premise is?
No.
On the reality show. It's being filmed in Scottsdale. Take a listen.
Scottsdale is my happy place. But you definitely have parents that are insane because our son loves baseball.
What the was that?
Baseball and Scottsdale go hand in hand.
Legendary Prep Academy is a high-performance baseball academy.
He's going to the MLB for sure.
I have high confidence.
I'm not going to kill his dream. We are here for the love of the game.
At LPA, games are intense. The parents can also be very intense.
I love everybody. Tell you with me.
You don't even know what's about to come.
This boy was telling everyone that I was on OnlyFans.
Wow. They call her Nipples.
We're not an easy group to come into.
I don't want to be the hot mom at LPA. I just want to be the mom.
I don't think that Trish and Nina can be friends.
I'm loud and I can be obnoxious.
Tequila!
I saw a kid that bullied my child and I called him a little bitch.
The devil comes out in that woman.
Nipples. Team Moms Baseball starting September 24th.
Wow.
On Paramount Plus, executive producer Kim Kardashian will follow the legendary Prep Academy in Scottsdale, Arizona, an elite baseball training school, and we will get to follow 10 parents as they show us behind the scenes of the youth baseball movement in Scottsdale. I cannot wait to follow Nipples.
I'm sure this will end up going great with all the parents who were already psychotic about their kids' sports and now seeing Kim Kardashian in a reality show. I'm sure that will clean up the behavior that is so professional at children's sporting events.
To be fair, she's an executive producer. You will not see or hear from her. Her name's just on it because she just wants to make money.
Yes, and this will make money.
I love the... I'm pretty sure he's gone to Major League Baseball.
I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the big league someday.
See, I'll say this. That's a great trailer, by the way.
5'8 and slow.
These are like 8, 10-year-old kids.
What is wrong with us?
You are sighing. I am rooting for this because this needs to all be burned down.
See, here's the point. I agree with you.
It all needs to be exposed.
Yes.
It needs to be shut down. At LPA, we care about development of children. No, you don't.
No.
You want to make the money off the parents.
Yes.
You want to make money for yourselves. You want to grow something into a multi-million-dollar business that becomes a billion-dollar academy. This has nothing to do with children. This has nothing to do with their well-being. Expose it all. Burn it all down. It is awful. It's so hard to find good youth programs nowadays that I am just more inclined to lean that everything is, it's just vultures circling pockets of parents, and I hate most of it, and I'm involved with some of it. I think I'm involved personally with good stuff, but expose all of the gross nastiness that has become youth sports.
I'm with you on the exposing of it. I hope that that is the end result. My biggest fear is that we showcase this behavior and you get other moms saying, well, that's how they act. I already act that way. I'm going to take it to another level.
I know that's going to happen,
I'm going to put more vodka in my koozie this weekend and let's go get hammered watching 9-year-olds play baseball on a Saturday. I love baseball. I grew up playing baseball. There is a part of me that if Teddy doesn't end up ever wanting to go down the road of playing baseball, I'd be completely fine with it because of this. I'm terrified of this.
Yeah.
And it's sad that I feel that way, but if Little Leagues were the Little Leagues that I had when I was growing up, I would want him to play baseball so badly. But if this turns into travel ball before turning 10 years old and that's your life, like I get that the kids are probably having a good time and enjoying it. You're going to burn out quick. I'm terrified of all that. The parent behavior, this is my nightmare, man. This is my nightmare.
I think the biggest thing, because I was just talking with somebody the other day, and they have like a 4 or 5-year-old, and youth sports got brought up. And I tell parents that have 5, 6 years old, I tell this to you with Teddy Ballgame, like at the end of the day, parents wrap themselves in so much guilt about stopping,
right?
That they don't, and then before you know it, you're like, "What's your vacation?"
You've gone so far down the road that you can't turn it around.
It's Spokane, yeah. It's Phoenix, it's Anaheim, it's tournaments, yeah. And that's your life. And God bless you if that's what you really want to do is spend 20 G's a year. You have to put your foot down, and so many parents think they will, and then they're in it and they can't,
yeah,
because this weird guilt about, oh, my kid will be left behind. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe if your kid is supremely talented and good and practices on their own, guess what will happen in high school? They'll get picked and they'll star and they'll show out. So I say it, but parents think they can always say no until they're in it and then they can't. And I hope this just exposes a real ugly side, which is already evident, but like now it's on television.
Yeah, if you don't have a kid, this is maybe out of sight, out of mind for you. Or a kid at that age, out of sight, out of mind. And then you get around it and you're like, oh my God, this is a cesspool.
Yes.
Although I am curious to see what Nipples is working with.
Also, the parent, I called the kid a little.
How was she looking?
I mean, they, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Scottsdale. Central casting.
Have you seen the Mormon wives?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just picture them as moms, yeah. But in Scottsdale.
Yelling at a baseball game.
Yeah. Also, great nickname, Nipples.
Ooh, I like it.
What else we got, Swag?
All right, next up, make it stop.
Yeah, this has been a hard one to hold because it's been around for a while, but I figured there's no better topic for a Magic Hat than something like this. You were out the Friday of the Hood to Coast run, and I went on a little bit of a rant when you were gone that show because the night previous had been the debut Amazon Prime preseason game where every network does their like one preseason game and they, you know, work out the kinks and all that. All over the preseason game, all over the pregame, all of that. It was all Kirk Herbstreit's dog. And I am so tired of this damn dog.
Oh, the Peter store.
I am so sick and tired of the dog. Get the dog out of my life. So thankfully, I had listeners DMing me this story, which is great, of like, make it stop, make it stop. We now officially have a Peter fan club store that has been launched.
Yeah.
It is in Baton Rouge.
Yep.
And it legitimately, like, the big awning on the front of the store says Peter Fan Club. That's the name of it.
Now, isn't this a pop-up I thought this was.
It is a pop up, but they are going to do multiple of them yeah. throughout the country. So they're going to pop this one up and then take it down. Raising Cane's has helped launching this, so I'm sure there's some sort of tie in there. Obviously, maybe he's got a Raising Cane's endorsement.
He's making money off this.
What? No.
He's not doing this out of the goodness of his heart.
It is located in the first one was located in Baton Rouge, and they are legitimately just selling nothing but Peter fan club merch, where it's a picture of his dog on a T-shirt or a hat. It says, "We love Peter. Peter's the best."
Why would you wear this?
I don't know. Like, what kind of weird Kirk Herbstreit yeah. fan do you need to be in order to buy gear for your dog? I'd buy gear for my dog. If my dog had a shirt, I would buy that shirt. I'm not buying gear of any other dog that exists. Like, that's great. I'm glad you love your dog, but I'm not wearing a shirt with your dog on it. And I'm so sick and tired of this damn dog.
He also has an endorsement. He's got an NIL deal.
Peter does?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not right.
I think it's been noted before. I forget who said it, so I can't give credit. Somebody tweeted something brilliant. His last dog died, and it felt like within a week he had a new dog.
Yeah, pretty quick.
And look, you can move on and have another dog.
He's got a stable of them.
Right? Like, I didn't plan to have my dog, but I would say it was 6 months later, this random stray, like, we just kind of rescued him. Having one within a week, and then you're just parading it out. It's the exact same dog. It's the exact same breed, by the way. And no offense, you can love a breed of dog.
Yes.
I find it odd to want the exact same looking dog.
Every time.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I have to mix it up.
I can't do
but
that.
But teach their own. This is a... Everybody gets to a level of celebrity if they make it. And I hope... I'm trying to find it right now. I hope there's like... 90% of the proceeds will go to...
So that was the funny anecdote
of this. Fill in the blank.
They are saying proceeds will go to animal-related charities. What percentage and how much?
They don't list.
Certain percentage.
So 10%, he keeps the 90. He then claims something on taxes so yes. he can get a tax break.
Yes.
This is...
It's so stupid.
He's blocked me. I just wish people would stop fully selling out.
My one thing will be...
It's just a sellout. It's just to yes. sell... You're selling your dog as merch? Why
Come
would
on,
you
man.
Buy a T-shirt
with somebody, else's,
somebody
dog
else's dog? I'd only wear Bubba on my T-shirt if he had like some rare disease
yeah.
that you wanted to raise awareness for.
I'm doing a GoFundMe to buy the Bubba T-shirts to pay for the surgery that he needs or
you
whatever.
Know,
yeah.
Something like if you were yeah. just selling Bubba Dirt's dog as a T-shirt, why would I wear that?
It's really weird, and I, yeah. He has gone so far around the other side of it that the backlash, I think, is starting to build up. And my one ask of Oregon, if they come to Eugene for a game day, I don't know if they will or not.
Because
their two big games are both on the road, so it might not happen this year.
Check in Springfield when the Peter store opened.
When they came, last year they didn't do it, but 2 years ago when they came, I think for the Ohio State game,
yeah.
they like the Duck brought out this huge basket of goodies
for
the dog, and it was this whole like social media content thing. Can we please not give the dog anything else?
Well, I'm cool with you having the dog around.
You can travel with your dog. That's fine. I just don't need the dog content. I take my dog almost everywhere I go. I don't live stream it on Instagram so you can watch him sitting in the backseat of my truck.
You would if you could make a mil.
You want to buy that shirt?
See, yeah. I would feel weird about that. I know that's easier to say not making the $1 million, but like I just feel all of that makes me feel odd.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how many people are just comfortable doing it.
Peter's Fan Club. The store has opened in Baton Rouge, and they're going to be popping up all over the country, so you can go buy your Peter gear. Peter's friend. Where's Peter? We love Peter.
Find my Peter.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Watch Nipples on Paramount Plus.
Nipples and Peter.
Help
what else we got?
Peter.
Doubling Down.
Yeah, this one was a sports-related one that we haven't gotten to yet, and I find the way this is all going to shake out fascinating. This is from Monday's press conference after one of the most embarrassing losses that I've ever seen.
Activity there? Anybody else in the room?
Do you regret anything about your off-season roster construction right now?
Chapel, you come with all these questions. I tell you, you're the gotcha guy. No, I don't. I don't, man. I regret being 0-1 right now. I regret that. But can you ask me that at the end of the season? You know, the season ain't over. I mean, we got one game, we got 11 more. What if we go 11-1? You promise me you'll ask me that then?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'll answer it.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm not answering questions like that, you know, Chapel. I know that's your role, and that's in this environment, you know, to be the guy that wants to create all the controversy and ask the controversial questions. If that's who you are, that's fine. I get it. But I'll answer that in a second. We played one game. One game. All right? Did you play football?
No.
Okay. Well, they give you 12 games, and at the end of the year, you count them up. All right? And you know, that's when those type of questions are fair to me. You know, not after one game to maybe the best team in the country. Maybe the best team in the country. All right? Now, other people have good teams and coaches and things like that too. So I give them credit. We got 11 more games to go battle. And we'll count them up. Then you can ask me whatever question you want.
I can't wait for this season to implode and that question to be at the end of the year. Hey, Dabo, remember when you doubled down? Do you regret anything about the offseason? You know, not doing the portal more, not getting a quarterback that can win you some game. They were down 51-3.
They scored first, by the way.
3-0, and then gave up 51 unanswered points. LSU covered the over on their own of 50.5.
I know it's LSU.
What are we doing, man?
Wrap my brain around, has OSU ever been like outscored 51-0 in a
51
football game?
Straight points.
I guess the 70 burger you hung because
yeah, we 69'd you. Yeah.
Dancing at the midfield before the Civil War.
I don't remember what the, like, did you guys score first and then we went on a long run? Were your garbage time points? I don't remember where the points came along the way.
It's the only Civil War I've left at halftime.
That's
I was like,
probably
well,
the closest one you've had there.
Not waiting around for this.
What do you think? He drives me nuts. I had a rare moment last week where Lane has been such a villain that I kind of found myself like Clemson pulling this off would be kind of funny, and then I found myself chuckling as the game went on that they're down 51-3 and nobody's watching and has turned it off, and he's become a mockery,
right of, like,
man.
Come with the question at the end of the season. He is right in that regard. Everything else is like clownish, dude. You vowed you'd quit if the kids made money. They made right. money. I think you've signed an extension since.
Yes.
Clown. You vowed to not care about the portal because we do it right the Clemson way. We now develop our talent. Now you're starting to dabble in the portal. You just haven't done it to the level you should have. Like, his downfall to me isn't about somebody that doesn't understand football. And I think that's the thing that needs to be addressed here. It's one thing to be 74 years old and to be aging out of the game or not have the fastball. That's different, man. This is a guy that won two titles, chose the right DC, chose the right quarterbacks, mm-hmm. whiffed okay. He could have kept it going, and maybe they will. They won the ACC just a couple years ago, but I'd argue it's because the ACC was so terrible.
It was the ACC, yeah.
To keep up with the Jimmys and the Joes of the sport, the LSUs, the Ohio States, etc., this guy didn't forget how to coach football. I still think he knows. My criticism of him is him flatly choosing to say, oh, I'm better than the way of how everybody else is doing it, and look where it's gotten him.
Yeah.
It's reared its ugly head to the point where if they don't win like 8 games or more, I think there's going to be a mutual parting of the ways here. I don't know if they fire him, more so say, we don't want to fire you, but we will, but we want you to like go out with the respect. You know, I don't know how it's going to end here. But, like, it's just sticking your thumb at the whole sport of, no, we do it our way, and your way's not working.
It has not worked in quite
it's
some time.
It's clear and evident when you're losing these games that way. How did LSU get their team?
A lot of new players.
Are those
there.
2-3 stars developed for 4 or 5 years, and right. now it's, no, dude, like, welcome to the sport in 2026.
Yeah, there would be such a frustration there as a Clemson fan of appreciating what he did, but I'm one off this ride. There's no hope that this is going to turn around. There's no hope you get back to being a program that competes at the highest level. The ACC might be down some years, and maybe you sneak in because of that. I would also point out 2 years ago when they won the ACC, I think it took like a 60-yard field goal as time expired to win it. And also that was before a little bit Miami had fully arrived with all their talent with Mario.
That was SMU.
Right, it was SMU and Clemson, yeah. And they both got in the playoff that year. They both lost their first playoff game, and now, you know, we obviously have had Miami since then. And so, I would be out of hope if I were a Clemson fan and so tired of this same nonsense at every press conference. You didn't lose a nail-biter. You didn't lose the game 28-24 with a you know, hey, that went back and forth. Dang it, they made one more play than us. We can build from that. Let's see how we do as the season goes on.
Yeah.
You were publicly humiliated in a way, in one of the more anticipated, like, you got this Dabo stuff, you got the Kiffin, you got the SEC lawsuit. We were all geared up for that game Saturday night, and it was over 5 minutes in. And you knew it was over 5 minutes in.
He knew it was over.
And that's alarming to go from where you – I'm not asking you to win titles every year. No. That's not the expectation. The expectation is not give up 51 unanswered points when you're Clemson. You're not coaching at Georgia Southern. That's who you're playing this weekend, and that's pretty bad. A little more Magic Hat to come on the other side. Lingering leftover thoughts on Seattle, New England, and then our predictions for San Francisco and L.A. Loaded Final Hour continues next on The Fan.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now, and whatever the heck Hyrox is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Bellassai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Bellassai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Bellassai wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you don't.
It's magic.
Only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
All righty, a little more Magic Hat time before we do. Let's give you the news from Adam Schefter coming out of about 10 minutes ago, give or take.
Which Niner got hurt again?
No 49er has gotten hurt in the last 15 minutes. According to my research, I don't believe one has gotten banged up. This is the Sam Darnold update. He underwent an MRI on his hip this morning.
There we go.
Team doctors still are reviewing to determine how much time he will miss. It is expected to be some, but for now, the team believes it, as one source described, dodged a bullet.
So yeah, it's another non-update update. It is, you know, right. That's the tough thing.
Is it 2 months? Is it 2 weeks? Is it a month? Is it 6 weeks? Like, there is a huge sample size here of time that will maybe end up dictating how their season goes from here. But the idea that it won't be a season ender
that's good.
Is definitely that's a bit good. Of positive news this good morning news. For Seahawks fans.
All right.
What else we got?
What do we got here? We have, what was that? Okay. Clearly doomed.
Yeah. You guys know me. I'm not the big technology guy and stuff on the radio program. I have begrudgingly dodged my last 16 Apple updates on my phone setting.
You know, technology and stuff.
It's ruining my phone. My apps are not working. Some of them because it needs a new update, and I'm not doing it. The new iPhone is coming up. People are excited and juiced. I don't completely.
What does this one do that the last one didn't do?
Or the camera's better. Here's a hot take to add to your photography is not a talent, even though I disagree with that take. Nobody with a functional brain that's not a photographer really knows what their camera's different.
No. They can't tell any difference.
The pixels. Yeah, okay. Sure. The moon still sucks when you take a photo of it. Nobody cares about your fireworks. Now, that being said.
Get the f*** out of here.
I don't want to talk about the AI guy who left and caught all the attention yesterday.
Told us that we're going to die in 10 years?
Well, he didn't say that.
He said we're all going to die in 9 years, so
he
enjoy it while it lasts.
He said within the next decade, 10%
chance. God, if
Oregon
doesn't win a title in the next 9 years, I'm going to be panicked.
Ooh, Oregon and Cleveland Brown fan going down
I will
with
be
the ship
panicked.
With no titles.
9 years from now, we're still winless in the championship.
Dan Lanning can be almost 50. It could be time to start asking questions.
There's some doomsday scenarios going off in my head.
Now, it's not that. It's just adding to it. I just merely want to point this out. I know a lot of people in my personal life that, like, heavily lean on AI.
Mm-hmm.
They're leaning on AI for any and all questions. In fact, I had a conversation yesterday with somebody, and they were talking about something they didn't know about. And I just, in the conversation in the moment, I said, well, wouldn't it just be this, this, and that? And I'm not in the field they're talking about. And they go, you know, I actually asked an AI bot that. And that's exactly what they said. And I go,
yeah. It's just an amalgamation of common logic.
And it's okay to ask, you know, questions of AI if there's something you need. Like, I'm not against it, but I just know a lot of people that, like, they're leaning all their body weight on it. It's like any and everything to write and do and say. It's like, I need AI. Anyways.
You don't.
But I use it on a rare occasion. How about this for We're Doomed? DraftKings went to ChatGPT and asked, could you simulate the season and give us the Super Bowl so we can pass it along to the betting market on our Twitter account? Would you care to guess what ChatGPT gave them for our Super Bowl?
What is the computer Super Bowl?
I mean, I'm imagining
ChatGPT.
You're playing odds. There's got to be statistics involved here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's got to be two teams that are favorites,
yep.
Right? It's got to be near the top of the list.
Absolutely.
Cowboys,
you
Chiefs.
You saying that makes me think it's not
Cowboys
the case.
Cowboys who?
Chiefs.
Cowboys Chiefs. That's a good guess.
I'm going to go.
Not far off, actually.
Lions and Bills.
Lions, Bills. That's yes. A really good guess as well. How about Giants and Colts?
I mean, a year ago, nobody would have said Seattle, New England. So if they end up being right.
Hold this for the end of the season so you can laugh at me.
That one away.
Giants, Colts in the Super Bowl.
Dude, the Danny Dimes revenge Super Bowl.
He won it.
I am here for it.
In the simulation.
He wins the Super
Colts
Bowl.
Colts beat Giants, according to ChatGPT.
Where would that rank of all-time tough Super Bowl losses? The quarterback you cast aside coming back to beat you in the Super Bowl?
People,
not even that long?
Let's see how it all goes. Yeah. The amount of information we share with these ChatGPT bots are fascinating.
I'm terrified of where it's all going. We're not going to die in 10 years, but can we just unplug it? Can we unplug it, please? We don't need to race to do this. Let's just unplug it.
Pretty soon, there will be no unplugging. They'll just exist.
Yeah, that is very true. All right, what else we got?
Make it happen!
It's also mine. It's the last one I had. I followed this story. I didn't bring it up yesterday. Didn't bring it up today. I thought this was the perfect segment for it. MLB expansion is back in the news. I know it's flying under the radar of football and college football and LSU lawsuits.
Manfred wants to get this on his record before he's done.
The stadium in Vegas is awesome. If I was an Oakland fan, I would be having very evil thoughts of John Fisher. He's reportedly shelling out a ton of money in the effort to make the coolest stadium exist ever in Vegas. The renderings. Have you seen the renderings of that stadium?
They're pretty badass. Dude, I'd want to go take like an upper decker dump in every gap bathroom I could find.
I would too. It looks awesome. The district in Vegas around the stadium is going to be cool. And then Tampa's got their stadium stuff.
Yeah, they got their new owner. He made all his money in construction. Looks like they're going to get that done.
This is sorted. So the next thing is going to be MLB expansion.
Which will not happen, by the way, till after the lockout. Because we're for sure locking
out. Yeah, they got to
get through that.
We're years away.
Yeah.
Anyways, Passan did an updated... the markets and all that. He went through the West Coast options, and Salt Lake is still far and away ahead. They're going to build a stadium even without the commitment. They have the ownership group locked up. But Passan notes in the article, he noted that Portland, if they had a group right now with the money, they would probably be ahead of even Salt Lake. We have the stadium financing stuff with $800 million.
You have a site.
They have a site.
Beautiful site.
The PDX MLB group is there with Craig Cheek and everybody else. And Passan now has done a podcast on YouTube where he's gone through the top sites. He talked to Craig Cheek. Here was Craig Cheek when asked, hey, you're probably behind Salt Lake because you don't have the monies. Here's Craig Cheek.
So we've got an $800 million fully supported SB110 with $800 million coming in towards construction of the ballpark. We've got a waterfront site under contract. We've got a fan base that's been building. We're almost as turnkey as you can get. With the final piece of the puzzle is we're advancing conversations on the capital stack right now and feel great that ahead of when we need to be there, we will have everything in place.
So he had a way more on that. It's a really good interview. I am supporting the group. I'm not trying to sit here and tell you we're getting it. All I would say is this. One, massively under-talked about and reported story in our market, in the media, the collective, is that this group came out and said, we have the monies. No, they don't. And that's the disturbing part to me is, like, I found out about a year and a half ago that money left. That money stuff didn't exist. He says they're encouraged, so that's good news to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But we're basically the favorite if we can get the monies, according to Jeff Passan. I just wanted to pass it along. It's football season.
Yeah, it's around the corner,
though.
This
is years down the road, but it was encouraging, again, to continue to read.
Yeah, baseball's not going to vote on this till we get through the lockout, which who knows how long and how much of next season that will eat up. But I know the owners will be eagerly awaiting the expansion fees. It's the same thing going on in the NBA right now, right? Like, they want to expand. All the owners are voting yes for it. Why? Because you're getting all these expansion fees. Everybody's bringing in a couple $100 million. It's going to cost you a lot of money. I don't know anything about the behind-the-scenes details financially for them, what they do and what they don't have, what kind of commitments they have or don't have. I think their hope all along has been, let's have a infrastructure in place, secure a site, secure some federal, or not federal, but state funding, and then have this as a platform of like, hey, who wants to own a Major League Baseball team? Here's a beautiful piece of land on the water. We have $800 million to cover a portion of the cost.
Right.
Come, you know, be a West Coast team. Because I do believe in the sentiment that pass and passes along, that I think baseball would rather be here than Salt Lake City. And I know that might be laughable to some.
No, I tend to agree.
But I think the travel time, the regionality of it, the divisional makeup, it just, that based on what Manfred wants the sport and divisions to look like, it makes more sense to have a team in Portland than Salt Lake City.
But
and
they
so,
will go Salt Lake if they need to.
Yes, they will.
If
Salt
they don't,
Lake is
if they
right
don't
there.
Feel like Portland is viable.
Your hope is like you're just finding somebody, like what's the cat who just bought the Seahawks? What's their family name?
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
Like he has no tie to Seattle. There's no connection there. I'm just
What's
like,
Mark
hey,
Mark Cuban doing? Mark Cuban's always.
You
want
to come on a baseball team? We got land. We got $800 million. Who wants to be a part
you
of
know,
this?
You know, it'd be awesome to have a Cuban. Until he passes, I think everybody's going to throw Phil in that conversation. Not too long ago, wanted the Blazers, didn't come up with enough. And then,
the only tricky part about Phil is you've got to have a succession plan in place with somebody that's
well. The
that
good news
advanced
is
in age.
His partner on the Blazer bid was who?
Dodger guy
who's going through some controversy and might want to be off the Dodger train and go do his own thing and has money. The Dodger guy. So, like, I don't know who it would be, what it would be.
Yeah.
Just wanted to kind of note it in the Magic hat of like, hey, that's still a thing and we're still years away from it potentially happening.
There you go. There is your Magic hat every Thursday. That was a nice little surprise. I didn't see that on the bingo card. Little MLB to PDX talk.
I mean, I came out of left field. I don't want to push it. Nothing's happening. There's no voting.
It's more news on that front than we've had in God knows how long.
It's nice to get updates on it because it's something I kind of forget about for a while because it goes away. And he interviewed Cheek. I found it a really good conversation. And I know Cheek is doing the pro MLB to Portland stuff. But my thing is like how much I back it and support it versus also like kind of being admittedly disappointed by, oh, there's no doubt we have the money.
Yeah.
But now you
I also don't. I think the
tough.
Yeah. The toughest part about all that for them, and this was not their fault, it was that they, when they launched, there was incredible momentum.
Well, they created the momentum.
They did.
Yeah.
They had, there was two things that went against them. One, they just launched too early. They didn't know what the timeline was going to be. But here we are in 2026, and we're still, what, a year and a half, 2 years away from this, right?
I disagree with that, too, actually. Okay. I think it created the momentum, even if some of it was oversold. Manfred's already been here. That was a few years ago. Like, it kind of created, like, this is real,
no
even
doubt.
For a Rob Manfred.
But I think part of the, and Salt Lake City definitely has more ducks in a row from a financial standpoint. There's no doubt. They've also been the shinier new toy of, like, ooh, look at this. Hey, look at that. They have a site. It's kind of this new place to go look at.
Well, people in Utah, not ecstatic about that.
Well, the other thing that killed the Portland Diamond Project was, and it wasn't their fault, it was COVID. They launched before COVID. The city had a reputation, and since the city has not had the same reputation,
it's
that's not their fault. And so, maybe at the start, they had people who were committed to spending billions of dollars on this, and they're like, you know what, we don't know when this is going to happen, we're going to commit our money somewhere else, and they end up pulling out, and so that's the one area to be fair to them, but it is nice to have an update on that, and it will be on the horizon soon. Major League Baseball. People in Boston not handling it well, and Niners and Rams, do we get a surprise tonight? Close it up there next on The Fan.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Miss the Imagine Dragons. Welcome back in 105.1 FM The Fan. Let's wrap it up on a Thursday. This is the night the NFL should be kicking off, but we have to have a stupid Australia game. So Seattle had to play last night. And before we get to the game tonight, let's put a bow on last night's game. We've been wondering, how are the people in Boston handling? From Boston.
Always level-headed.
Always level-headed.
Have
especially
perspective.
Immediately after.
Game 1 of 17.
Take a deep breath. It'll be all right. Mark Dondero at 98.5 The Hub in Boston. Let's all have a calm, cool, collected conversation about Drake May.
They tried to hide him all night long with high school plays, with the Zavarian playbook. High school. Swing pass, little runs, rollouts to nowhere. High school football. The second he had to make NFL plays or throws, he was screwed. He couldn't do it. He made one NFL throw all night. That was to Hollins on one of the third downs. That was a little bit deep on an in cut. Nice timing. He made high school plays all night long. That's what happened. And he could not step up. And that throw to end the game was that was incomprehensible and disgusting. To even put the ball with that much air under it in that situation, it was befuddling. That was a joke. You cannot do that. He blew this game, and he was bad all night. I thought the only thing he produced all night was high school level plays. High school, science class, chemistry. It was awful.
The end of that is fantastic.
Chemistry's not easy, by the way.
Chemistry's a really hard class, okay? You know what I have to say to that guy?
What?
You'll be back.
Well, he's the post-game host.
Yeah, you're not.
That's like if Joe Fisher goes crazy on Oregon barely beating Oklahoma State this weekend.
You know, Drake May will have a game where he throws three TDs, and he'd be like, that's my MVP, that's a quarterback, that's
my guy.
You
know what wasn't high school? Yeah. That wasn't high school.
I mean, he's not wrong. I don't know what the numbers were on him pushing the ball down the field last night, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was pretty poopy, pretty bad last night
from
old Drake May.
Charlie, check down or run it out of the pocket.
I mean, his best highlights of the game, honestly, outside of the fourth down throw that he had to Mac Hollins, which, by the way, that was the only critique I had of McDonald all night last night. Having to win a game with a backup quarterback, their defense carried him again despite some injuries in the back end. They had that fourth down call where it was, they ended up calling a timeout. They had the pressure look, and Collins was like, that's a good timeout right there. But they had no answer for Seattle's pressure all night. They'd zero blitz, bring everybody, and Drake May looked like a confused puppy that would just run around and throw the ball out of bounds. Mm-hmm. They had no answer for it, and they were showing that look, and they ended up calling timeout. And then when they came back out onto the field, they kind of dropped into a soft zone, and they didn't send any pressure. And Hollins found a little gap in the zone, and they ended up converting it. That was one of the only issues. I was like, dude, bring the heat, man. This kid can't handle it. Keep sending him waves of rushers. But Seattle's defense, awesome game last night. They get off to a 1-0 start. No update. I saw a quote, by the way, from Brock and Salk in Seattle from McDonald today, where he basically said they just think it's muscular. They don't know. They have no clue, though, how long he's going to be out. So time will tell on that front.
They're
going to
probably be a little vague with it and, yes, and give you a rough estimate and then just play it by ear week to week.
I wonder how their record over the next 2, 3,
impacts
4 weeks
it, yeah,
will impact.
If you win the next Arizona, games, though, next weekend, you're, yes, going to be like, if you beat Arizona and then you go to D.C. and you can beat the Commanders on the road, which is not going to be easy because of the East Coast time zone thing.
Yeah.
You go, you know what? All right, we could settle down a little bit. The games will get harder, as we noted earlier with their next 7 games. But,
right,
you know, I don't look at them either. They may bring somebody in, but I don't view this as like, who's going to be a starting quarterback? It's Drew Lock.
Milroe was the emergency third quarterback.
Milroe's not going to play.
They don't want to play Milroe.
He's not good. Yeah. He cannot play in an NFL game.
By the way, gave a lot of love to Drew Lock after that win. Hugged him like 3 different times.
Milroe did?
Yeah.
I did see that, yeah, for the touchdown.
Gave him a lot of love. I almost thought Drew Lock was getting annoyed of it. All right, man, you hugged me. I get it.
The only one that people speculated on that made sense to me, if it was going to be an extended period of injury, was Garoppolo, just because of his familiarity in
the system.
What about Niner? Is Jimmy Garoppolo because of his familiarity in the system?
I mean, Drew Lock was Niner, Sam Howell was Niner. Don't dismiss the idea this franchise would be willing to try it.
And also, I believe, is Garoppolo, he's still in L.A., isn't he?
I have no idea.
I don't know if he is. Don't they have Bennett and Simpson?
He was a Ram last year?
He was, but they have Bennett,
they have Bennett and Simpson, yeah.
I thought they were doing the 4 quarterback thing.
Don't feel great.
Maybe I'm wrong on that. He's an unrestricted free agent. He doesn't have a team, so there you
what
go.
What about Flacco? That guy can run any playbook.
You want to trade for Kirk Cousins? Huh? You want Kirkers coming to town?
Kirkers.
Here comes Kirkers.
I think this weekend, you want to talk about survivor pool games? The Raiders might be the pick against.
They play somebody.
They
really
play
bad.
The Dolphins, though.
You taking the Dolphins?
Yeah. Give me the Dolphins.
Yeah, give me.
Malik Willis about to light them up.
Tonight, who's on the call for Netflix? Who does a Netflix broadcast?
What is it? Eagle and...
Is it J.J. Watt? Was J.J. Watt on these last year, if I remember correctly?
It'd be great if it was Clay Matthews earlier. And his AI face.
Dude, so that ended up being a Caesars ad. Did you see the video?
I didn't see the video.
So that's what they put out, the time lapse of him. So it wasn't AI.
It's weird to have TMZ be a part of this.
They're in your defense.
Eagle, Luke Kuechly, Tom Pelissero, and MJ Acosta Ruiz. So you'll have two sideline reporters, Noah Eagle and Luke Kuechly.
Luke Kuechly?
Hall of Famer, Luke Kuechly.
Is Luke Kuechly good? Has he called a game?
I think he has called.
Has he?
I think so.
Okay.
Netflix needs to kind of prove it to me, by the way, in the sports department.
The quality of the picture is always great. That I'm a fan of, but yeah, the rest
so
of
I'm
it.
So I'm assuming they're going to start pregame 4:30. Will we get L. Duncan leading?
Oh, yeah, L. Duncan's on.
Is Will Ferrell going to run around naked?
Let's hope not. Hopefully they don't
Shane Gillis going to be there rolling tires out on the field.
You know, 12 different people in the pregame. You know, do three or four and
37 on the dais.
Who's somebody that that would hate Shane Gillis that you could put with Shane Gillis on a broadcast the way like they had Saban?
Patrick Harris calling a game with Shane Gillis I think would do it. They seem like they would not vibe.
Oh, I meant on the pregame.
Oh, on the pregame?
And like I'm talking about a football person.
Mm.
Think Bill Cowher's putting up with Shane Gillis?
I think Bill Cowher thinks Shane Gillis is funny, yeah. Oh, okay.
Belichick, if he wasn't
L. Duncan
college.
Probably would not. I mean, I don't know what L. Duncan's...
L. Duncan can have...
What?
Yeah.
L. Duncan's what?
I just don't know what her philosophy on sexual humor is or offensive jokes are. Shane Gillis has a lot of offensive jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. other than that, I don't know. That's all I got for you. But we do got Niners and Rams tonight, and I am excited for it. 3.5 is your line. I will be betting the 49ers tonight.
Really?
I'm going to take the Niners plus the hook.
With the hook?
Look, I'm an idiot, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I have such a hard time understanding their science, and I understand the Niners' science, and this is a science-related bet. They have sent countless people to Australia, made them fly, made them do the layover thing, and they've said this is their recommended strategy, and I get that. How many of them went and played a four-quarter football game and just talked about, hey, we weren't that sleep-deprived? It makes no sense to me, and for that reason and that reason alone, I'm taking the 49ers plus 3.5.
The amount of conversation about this travel strategy versus the game is going to be a 90-10 split.
Yes.
It will be 10% the actual game. Hey, maybe this team beats that team sometimes. Hey, maybe that team beats that team sometimes. If the Rams win, the Niners were stupid. If the Niners win, the Rams were stupid. And it's going to be a travel plans.
Without a doubt.
Unless you can clearly see it, I just don't know if I'm going to have that takeaway.
No, unless one team is just horrific early and then maybe wakes up late. We'll see what the takeaways are. Last night's game was a dud for about three quarters, and it ended up delivering. We'll see if tonight's game delivers as well. Game two of the NFL slate, Niners and Rams. We'll talk about it tomorrow, and it'll be a football Friday. Get your set for everything going on in the weekend in sports. That will do it for us. Thanks for being a part of our Thursday, everybody. The Firm, Harrison Meringue is next. You're listening to 105.1 FM The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.